Ever feel like you're going the wrong way down a one-way street? Swimming upstream. Fighting an uphill battle. You're trying hard to walk the straight and narrow. To do what you know is right. To show people the way. But nobody seems to be paying attention. You start to wonder, is it worth it? Wouldn't it be easier to join the crowd? You get beat up, fed up, and finally, you give up. Forward, you can't always see the impact of your actions, whether you know it or not. People are watching. People are listening, waiting on your next move. The road doesn't get any easier, but sometimes it helps to remember you're not alone.
Watched that video this week, I was reminded about you guys and about all of us. We're going to talk through a series this next few weeks called Stranger Than Fiction. I don't know if you guys have ever thought about the gospel itself, but I'm sure you have many times, but as you think about it, as you think about that story, it is a crazy story. I sat with a guy recently that had really never even heard about Jesus. Guy lives here in Dallas, and I just asked him, I said, has anybody ever really even told you about Christ? And he goes, not really. And that amazed me. And when you start, if they have no reference point for who Christ is, and you begin to tell this story about a man who was born of a virgin that was fully God and fully man, and you start telling the story, and you hear it coming out of your mouth, and you just go, this is crazy. It is the strangest story, but what has been so good for me in my own walk with Christ is that as I look at the scripture and how it all ties together and how it all makes sense, and even the stuff in the Old Testament points to Christ the whole way, I just go, yeah, it's strange, but it's only something God could have come up with. And as I thought about that, I wanted to ask you in your lives, what about your life is stranger than fiction? Would some people say about you that when I look at your life, I just can't believe that you live that way? And I want to tell you that that is the kind of person the Lord wants us to be. And I'm going to tell you, I fail at it all the time. I'm coming off a weekend, just being honest, and I didn't even plan on sharing this with you. But as I'll tell you, my youngest son, Easton, some of you have heard me talk about him. He's a 2.5-year-old, and he is a handful right now. And I'm going to tell you, 3 different times this weekend, he goes into these temper tantrum things. Some of y'all had him in on Sunday morning and know what I'm talking about. But he is incredibly hard. And I started thinking about how frustrated he has made me this weekend. And how, you know, just angry, and how I had to kind of just pull away and go, Lord, keep me from letting a 2-year-old get me this frustrated. And I started thinking about the life that God's called me to, even with when things aren't going great, even when things are really difficult, and when we have a certain rest and a certain peace in the middle of that, and we can respond to others in a loving way, then that is stranger than fiction. Because everybody around you would say, man, I don't know why you don't just get really furious with that son of yours, you know, like I have at times. Others might say, I don't know why you keep trying to follow Christ. I don't know why you keep walking upstream in a hallway of people who are all going the other way, and you keep being bumped around and bruised and made fun of and rejected and whatever else. I don't know why you do it. And I don't know how you keep a joy about you or a rest about you in the middle of that unless what you're talking about is really real. Well, it's going to start this stranger than fiction life. As we talked about earlier, it starts with Jesus Christ. It starts with you knowing him and walking with him. And that, you go, oh, Bron, that's real earth-shattering. Okay? But what's so funny about that is what I learned even this weekend once again is that when I am not seeking the presence of the Lord and I'm not spending time with him, when I'm not walking with him intimately, what comes out is junk. And so I want to remind you guys of that tonight. And you guys, look at your last week. I want you to think back in your last week. Ask yourself, was my life one that people would take note of? Was my life strange to people around me because they saw such joy and such contentment and such rest? And was I living a life that stood out? And then if you say, no, I wasn't. I was just like the world around me. I responded hatefully to people. I was impatient. I was selfish. I was all those things. And you got to ask yourself right behind that, what did the presence of the Lord look like in your life this last week? Okay, let me tell you this. For those of you who may not know him tonight, I don't expect you to be any different than the world around. You know why? Because the Spirit of Christ, the scripture says, has to come in and take you from death to life. You will be no different. The Bible says, and before I knew Christ, there was nothing good in me that was working against this crud that was in me. Ephesians 2, which we're not going to have up there, but it says that we were dead in sin. We were dead in our transgressions. And I want to give you this picture. Before you knew Christ, you were dead. Can you imagine trying to change a dead person? Hey, I really wish you'd start being. A dead person is dead. But those who have been brought to life in Christ, we have hope and we have a chance to live a life that is strange to those around us. I'm going to take you to a passage of scripture that you might not expect for this little talk tonight, but it is one that I think will really encourage you. We're going to look at Exodus 33, and we're going to look at the life of Moses. If you guys have been going through the journey, we've been talking about Moses' life. And look what would happen here. You guys know right before this, just so you know, this is when Moses had gone up to the mount, and the people below him had made this golden calf. And they had worshipped it, and Moses came down, and he was not happy, and either was God with them. And so after this, they're kind of in a bad way with the Lord, and Moses decides, hey, we got to kind of get back to pursuing the Lord and trusting him and not, when I'm away for just a little bit on the mount, you guys turn to something else. Think about how you are that way with God. When things aren't going real well or when things don't seem, when you don't feel the Lord's presence, when you don't think things are great, you turn quickly to idols. That's what I do too. But look what Moses does to kind of set a pace here. He says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. So what I want you to see first in Moses' life here is a great, and whenever Moses, let me read verse 8, whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. Moses was doing two things. One, he knew that he had to go get in the tent with the Lord. This was a place to meet with Christ or meet with the Lord this time. And so he would go and he would meet at this tent. And I want to ask you guys, just like I asked earlier, right now, are you heading to the tent a lot? Are you going to a place where you are pursuing Christ and you're praying and you're in his word and you want to know him? If not, there will be consequence for that. For those of you who don't know him tonight, maybe you don't know who Christ is, then you're going, what would it be like to inquire of the Lord to know him? And so I would ask you, are you going to the tent? And this week, you ought to remember that. Anytime you think about going to the tent, man, I need to be in a relationship with Christ. So Moses was not only doing that for his own good, but he was also setting the example for those around him. The second thing was that Moses had a close relationship with God. And I want you to know that as it talked about his relationship with God, this is what it said about him. Look in the next verse there. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but his young age, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. What I want you to hear here is some of y'all think about God being this person or this being up there that you can't know. And because of Christ, this incredible bridge, us sinful people can have a personal relationship with Christ. And he wants to know you. I love that picture there, that as though he would speak to him, Moses would speak to him face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Is that the way you would describe your relationship with Christ? A friend, think of your closest friends. What makes you guys close? You spend a lot of time together. You guys have a similar heart. Maybe you have similar likes. some other things. And you know what? As you get to know Christ, I hope that's true for you. You spend a lot of time with him. You're in the tent a lot. And that you know him intimately and you walk with him in a way that others would go, golly, there's something about you that is just strange. It's stranger than, I couldn't even make it up. The way you respond to life, it's unbelievable. That's what God wants. I want you to take one little nugget here that's just kind of for free here. I'm gonna give you a little gift here. This is extra credit. Young age Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. You guys know who took over after Moses, right? It was Joshua. Notice how he didn't even leave the tent. As God was preparing him for his leadership role to come, he just spent all this time with the Lord. I wonder about some of you guys. I look out this room and I think, how does God want to use you? And you may go, I don't know if God wants to use me. I'm going to tell you, that's more about what you think about yourself or really about what you think about God. God can use whoever he chooses to use. And I really believe he uses those who make themselves available to him. And so are you a person that has intimacy with God? Are you a person that is running to the tent? Are you someone that, man, I am just preparing myself for how God wants to use me now and even in the future? I think God wants to use you in big ways. We all know he wanted to use Moses in big ways and he wanted to use Joshua in big ways. See, I think God wants a close relationship with you right now. Look at John 15. It says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I love that picture. Look on the next verse, 15. No, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Do you guys see the intimacy there that Christ wants for us? He's calling us no longer servants. He's calling us friends. He said, everything that the Father reveals to me, I'm going to reveal to you. There's an intimacy there that I don't know if we get. And if we don't get it, we are missing out on what God wants us to have. That's why he sent Jesus. For a lot of reasons. One, to save us from our sin, but also to have life here abundantly and life that's intimate with Christ. How you doing there? Would you consider Christ someone, a friend that you know intimately and that you walk with? The third thing about Moses' life that I want to ask you guys that I think was strange about him was Moses was honest, but he was faithful. And here's what I mean by that. Moses was not a guy that didn't question God. Okay, he asked good questions. He asked the Lord to tell him, he would say to him, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. Okay, look at the next set of verses here. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, you hear that in that tone a little bit? You've been telling me, Lord, you've been saying this is what you're going to do. Lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name and have found favor with me. You know what I love about that line in there? But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You guys ever felt like that? You guys ever felt like, hey, God, you've been telling me to walk with you. You've been telling me to take a stand for you. You've been telling me to head down that hallway where I'm going against the flow, but you haven't told me how it's going to turn out. You haven't told me that, man, if people are going to reject me. You haven't told me who's going to stand with me. You haven't told me that if I turn around, there's going to be others that are going with me. And so it gets real scary sometimes. And it comes down to, do you trust the Lord? If this is this friend that you've been meeting with and you know his word and you know his promises, what I love about this is Moses says, you have said, he's repeating back to God what he said. Do you ever do that? You ever read the scripture and go, Lord, here's what your word tells me. It says that you'll never leave me or forsake me. It says that I don't have to be anxious for anything, that I can make my requests known to you and your peace will guard my heart. Do you ever say that to the Lord? If you don't know his word, then it's hard for you to tell him, remind him of what he's already said to you. You know, some of the greatest prayers in the scripture from Nehemiah and others where they would repeat back what God had already said. But if you don't know him, if you haven't been in the tent, if you haven't been intimate with him, if you don't know him as a friend, then you won't know all the promises he has for you. And he has some great ones for you. So you see this honesty with Moses that I don't know how you're going to do it. But he trusts him. And I'd ask you guys are in that situation right now, some of you are. Some of you are heading to college and you're going, Lord, I don't know where you're going to send me. Maybe you're going, Lord, I don't know who's going to be my roommate. Lord, I don't know why you're taking me to this college, but I'm gonna trust you. And here's what I want to tell you. God's will, this is where I stand on this. God's will is a matter of your heart more than it is a place. I believe you could go to a lot of colleges next year, some of you that are graduating, and it will be more about your heart being turned towards the Lord as far as God's will. Because I believe if you know him, that he goes with you wherever it is. So let me take the pressure off a little bit. Because you're going, Lord, I don't know why you're sending me. I don't know who's going to go with me. And I don't know if there's going to be great Christians there. I don't know how it's going to be. But here's what I do know, that your word tells me you love me. And that you are, in Galatians 4, you tell me that I'm like your son and that I cry out, Father, to you. And that I'm going to be your son and your daughter and your heir, and you are my daddy. That's what it tells you. You ever thought about just repeating that back to the Lord and thanking him for that? Some other things I thought about is some of you right now might be losing friends for the stance you're taking in Christ, for Christ. You may be that person that's walking along that hallway uphill. And you're going, Lord, if I take this stance, I'm going to lose these friends. And who's going to be my friend? Lord, you keep telling me to stand for you, but who's going to go with me? Who's going to be there for me? And you may just have to trust the Lord that he has plans for you. He has the plans made. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Repeat God's word back to him. See, that's strange. It's strange for people to live a life where there's rest. But you know what? We're going to look at the response that God gave Moses. Look at verse 14. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Whatever you're coming up against right now, if you know Jesus, the Lord's response to you is, I'll go with you. You're not going to go alone. I'll never leave you or forsake you, and I will give you rest. How many want that? I will tell you this. I think this student culture right now is the most insecure culture I've ever seen. And I've been doing this for a long time, too long. If I tell you, you'll know how old I am, then it'll be awkward and all that. But I will tell you that you guys, I see insecurity like crazy right now. And what I want to tell you is God loves you and his presence goes with you. And those of you who are trying so hard to do all the things that we know you've heard about a million times, to fit in, to be loved, to feel part of something, God wants to tell you tonight, my presence goes with you and I want to give you rest. If you will just come to the tent and hang with me, if you will talk to me as a friend talks to me face to face, if you will know my word and repeat just who I am in your life, there's incredible rest for you. I don't know about you. You ought to think about it. As you hit your pillow tonight, you think about that symbol, that pillow is rest. I want you to think about that all week. Lord, when I get anxious, when I get insecure, I want you to think about that pillow that God wants to be, that he wants to give you rest and trust him. And say, Lord, I just want more of your presence. This weekend, as I came up against hard times with my son, it was a tough weekend with him. I had to just go away and go, Lord, I know that you want to give me rest. I know that your spirit wants to guide me in the middle of this. I don't want to be a cruddy dad today with my son. And I believe the Lord would say to me, my presence goes with you, and I will give you rest. So Moses could find rest in the middle of unanswered questions. You guys have got them. You ought to write some of those out. You ought to journal tonight and you ought to write out, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do here. Some of you adults in here, leaders, I don't know what you're going to do in my next job. I don't know how you're going to provide for me. Students, you guys have tons of questions, I'm sure. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. Here's what you have to be convinced of and understand. We talked about this week in staff meeting just how Moses, when he went along, God would tell him, take the people out, and he didn't even tell them how they were going to eat. You know, you guys know the story now because you've read it, but he goes, take them out, lead them out. Can you imagine how hard that would be to trust him with that? It would be incredibly hard. And so whatever it is, your unanswered questions, you ought to write those out in your journal right now. Say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to work here, but I want to trust you because I believe that your presence will go with me. And it may be strange to those around me that I have such rest and such joy in the middle of hard, unanswered questions. But that can be a real testimony to those around you. The last one, Moses knew God's presence would make him distinguished among the people. And I just want to tell you this, that's what we're talking about tonight. The place where your life will be stranger than fiction as you go out, where people go, I just don't get that, is if you really do practice the presence of the Lord. And what I mean by that is you're in the tent lot, face to face, trusting him, even through hard questions. Look at the verse that goes with that. Moses is getting ready to get sent out. Well, let me read this from Exodus real quick. It says, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? You ought to ask the same question. Lord, if you don't go, if your presence isn't part of my life, if I'm not walking in your spirit this week, there will be nothing that distinguishes me. I will look like every other person in that hall tomorrow at school. And I know you're calling me to stand out, to be salt and light and stand firm and be a light. And you know what? You will not be able to do it unless the presence of the Lord goes with it. You will not respond the way you want to. You will not be selfless the way you want to. All those things. And I won't either. What I love about Moses is Moses, he gets it right here. He goes, man, Lord, if you don't go with us, we are in trouble. And so tonight, I would ask you guys, man, is the presence of the Lord, are you practicing that? Are you someone who's pursuing him? Are you spending that time with him? If not, you'll reap what you sow there. And if you don't know him, let me tell you, the Lord wants to know you. He wants his presence to be in your life. He wants to give you rest. And if you don't know him, I would absolutely love to have the privilege of telling you about Jesus Christ tonight. So please come find me after this. If you're going, man, I don't know who Christ is. I don't have a relationship with him. When you talk about intimacy with him and spending time, I don't know what that means. I'd love to answer that for you. Let me tell you this. Those of you who do know him, look at these next verses in Philippians. This is what God wants for you. That distinguished, that stranger than fiction life. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. That fear and trembling there, that may make you nervous a little bit, like, hey, I'm working out my salvation. It's not about you earning your salvation there. It's about you being intimate and about it being a pursuit of Christ to know him. Work it out. It is a verb. It's an action. You're going, Lord, I got to pursue you. I got to know you. You can't just sit back and go, well, I hope God shows me something today. You've got to have some discipline to pursue him. And then look what it says. Do everything without complaining or arguing. If I don't have the presence of the Lord, I'm the number one complainer and arguer. So you become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and deprived generation, in a generation where people are walking down the hall and they all look the same. And God wants you to stand. Look how he wants you to stand out. In which you shine in the like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. This is Paul talking to these about his friends that he had invested a lot of time in. But I love that picture that you would stand out, that you would shine, that your life would be strange to those around you. It starts exactly with what Moses knew. He knew, I need to be with the Lord. I need to know him. And I need to realize that unless his presence goes with me, I am in a bad way. So that's my question for you tonight. Some of you would say, boy, I want my life to be one that others look at and say that you can only live that way if you know Jesus Christ and you walk with him. But the problem is you're not really walking with him. And tonight he's going, hey, come on back. I want you to know my presence and I want you to be at rest. Starting tonight, tomorrow, I pray you guys will be heading for the tent a lot in your walk with Christ. Let me pray for you. God, I'm reminded that the walk through life, the walk down the hallways of life, Lord, are scary and they feel lonely at times. Lord, there's a lot of unanswered questions that all of us have. We don't know how you're going to operate, how you're going to work. But Lord, would you remind us that you are good and that you are worth pursuing, that we can trust you. And Lord, what we need to remember is no matter what happens, your presence will go with us. And Lord, would you help us to be people who are going to the tent daily and spending time with you and inquiring of you and praying to you? And Lord, I pray that this would be a week for some of these students like never before, that they'd find rest. And that rest that they have, that confidence that they have in you, would be contagious to those around them. And those around them would be drawn to Jesus Christ like never before. Would you help, man, just a ton of these students this week, and me too, Lord, would you help us to walk in such intimacy that the world would marvel at the joy and the rest we have in you? Thanks for life in Christ. Christ in us, the word says, is the hope of glory, and we thank you for that tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let me...